God often writes the next chapter of your life through ordinary obedience. And we ended this chapter 2 with this truth that your story's not over. Chapter 1 may have been painful, chaotic, season of loss, a season of grief, but God is turning the page. And he's writing chapter 2 for you. It's time to turn the page. We talked about that last week. Today, week 3, we looked at chapter 3. We're going to start to see this relationship between Ruth and Boaz begin to unfold. And what starts as a simple interaction in a field begins to reveal something much deeper. Two people's lives who are shaped by faith and a desire to honor God. And as we watch this relationship begin to develop, we're going to uncover some powerful principles about how healthy relationships are formed and how strong marriages are sustained. So if you're taking message notes, this morning's message title is Under the Covering. Under the Covering. You know, the safest place for any relationship, no matter your relationship you're in today, is under the covering of God. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for all that you're doing. Pray that you'd speak to us through chapter 3 of the book of Ruth today and what it looks like to be under your covering. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. Relationships are fascinating to me. I mean, have you ever thought about how weird it can be and how ironic it is? I mean, everybody wants this amazing relationship, but yet it seems like nobody knows how to do them well. Maybe a few of you guys do, but it just seems like the average, okay, the overall results. We don't see many great relationships. You know, we live in a time where you can find advice on relationships literally anywhere. Podcasts, books, TikTok, Instagram. I love when people go to TikTok for relationship advice. Have you ever found that there are thousands of relationship experts out there telling you how a relationship works? Some of them have been married for 6 months. Some of them have never been married but given relationship advice. Those are the best. But people are searching for answers because relationships are critical. In fact, surveys consistently show that one of the top desires that people have in this lifetime is a healthy, lasting marriage. That's what people want. Not just a marriage that survives, but a strong marriage. I'm wondering if that's how you feel today. I don't want to just be in a marriage. I want to be in a strong marriage, a thriving marriage, one that honors God. Nobody stands at the altar thinking, man, I really hope this blows up in about 10 years, you know? Think about your wedding day. You stood on that altar and just like, you hoped and you dreamt and you believed that this was going to be the best thing ever, and then life happens. Somewhere along the way, many couples begin to discover something, that a great marriage doesn't just happen, it is intentionally built. And the truth is, the things that build a great marriage usually start long before the wedding day. And that's what makes this book of Ruth so fascinating. Because in Ruth chapter 3, we get to watch these early moments of Ruth and Boaz. And this is such a great chick flick unfolding. I hope you're into this, okay? We're going to watch as Ruth and Boaz begin to get to know each other. And what's interesting is that the Bible doesn't show this cheesy romance. It shows something much deeper. It shows character. It shows respect. It shows kindness. It shows faith. And what we discover is that the same qualities that build a relationship are the same qualities that will sustain a marriage. But there's something deep that's taking place in Ruth chapter 3. The Bible uses this powerful imagery where Ruth is asking Boaz to do something. I want to read it to you. We're going to get there, but I just want to kind of just show this to you real quick. Ruth 3:9, spread the corner of your garment over me. Sounds sexual, but it's not. Spread the corner of your garment over me. That's what Ruth is asking Boaz to do. In other words, she's saying this, will you cover me? Will you cover me? That might sound like strange language in today's culture. I don't know if your wife has asked you to cover you. Will you cover her? But in ancient language, this is a language of protection. It's a language of covenant. It's a language of redemption. Ruth is asking Boaz to to place her under his covering. Under his covering. When we, last week, when we went to the White House and the day they invited us to go to the Israeli embassy, it started to downpour on us. Like, we weren't prepared, you know, it was so cold it started to sleet. It was just out of nowhere. It's one of those storms. Y'all know, we're in Texas. It's 90 degrees. It'll probably be snowing tomorrow. That's how we live, right? But at a moment's notice, a storm can hit, right? And we were at this hotel, and I didn't even know you can do this. My wife asked the hotel for an umbrella. Did you know you can do that? I had no idea. Like, you can actually ask them for an umbrella, and they'd give you one. Anyways, that happened. I'd learned something new that day. And we went outside, and I'm so glad we did, because, again, it started to sleet on us. Here's the important thing about an umbrella. An umbrella doesn't stop the storm, right? It doesn't make the rain disappear. If this bothers you, you need to read the Bible, all right? I was thinking about it. I was like, give me a ladder, I'm going to walk under real quick, you know? It's like, I was thinking, I'm like, how many people are going to be bothered I open an umbrella inside, okay? You superstitious people, that's witchcraft, all right? An umbrella doesn't stop the storm. It doesn't make the rain disappear. It doesn't change the weather, but it covers you while you walk through a storm. It's a picture I want to show you today. An umbrella can cover you when you walk through the storm. The difference between standing in the storm and standing under the covering, that's a big difference. That's a very important difference. And what we're going to see in Ruth chapter 3 is a picture of what happens when relationships are built under the covering. Because the storms will come. Sleet is coming your way. Are you built under the covering? When you look closely at the story, you begin to see four practices I want to give you today that place relationships under the covering. The safest place to be is under the covering of God. Not just you personally, but your relationship. So here's the first one, the foundation of character. It's the first principle about being under the covering of God. The covering of relationship begins with character. An umbrella only works if you're standing under it. You can own an umbrella. You can borrow an umbrella from the hotel. You can carry it. You can walk around with it. But if you're standing outside of the umbrella, you're still going to get soaked. Same is true spiritually. You cannot build a righteous life while standing outside the covering of God. When Boaz notices Ruth, the text shows us something interesting. It doesn't first highlight her beauty. The text highlights her character. Ruth 2, we read this last week, but it tells us that Boaz already noticed her. Ruth 2:11, Boaz replied, "I've been told all about you, what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of her husband, how you left your father and mother in your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before." He had heard about her faithfulness. He heard about how she cared for Naomi, how she repented. She left Moab. She turned from her false gods and turned to the one true God. And that matters, because when Boaz looks at Ruth, he's not seeing attraction, he's seeing substance. And that's a word for our generation. Let me ask you a question. It's a serious question. But are you a person of character? Would your spouse or the person you're dating say you are a person of character? Because we live in a culture that is obsessed with chemistry, but almost blind to character. We ask questions like, is she funny? Is he attractive? Did they text me back? Do they make me feel something? But Scripture asks a different question. Do they fear God? Do they have integrity? Are they faithful when no one's watching? Here's a big one. Are they becoming more like Jesus? Because here's the truth. You can build excitement on attraction, but you cannot build covenant on attraction. At some point, beauty fades, feelings fluctuate, chemistry shifts, But character always carries serious weight. So let me say it this way. Chemistry may start a relationship, but character is what sustains it. So are you a person of character? Well, why does that matter? Because you don't build a life on righteousness on a foundation of sin. You can't build this life of righteousness on a foundation of sin. Because your character, it's going to affect your relationships. And this doesn't just apply if you're dating, it applies to your marriage. I'm trying to hit everyone today, because if you're married, you don't stop needing character after the wedding day. In fact, marriage has a funny way of revealing your character, and your spouse said amen. Marriage doesn't remove the need for holiness. Marriage exposes it. You find out really quick in marriage, are they patient? Are they humble? Are they forgiving? Do they tell the truth? Do they own their mistakes? Do they pray when times get tough? Are they submitted to God when life gets complicated? Marriage will reveal what's hidden. Because when two imperfect people share one life, character becomes unavoidable. That's why the real question is not, did I marry the right person? The deeper question is, am I becoming the kind of person who can build a godly marriage? Amen. It's a great question for us to ask individually, because here's the hard truth that Scripture shows us again and again. You don't just attract what you want, you often attract what you are. You want a marriage built on peace? Become a person of peace. You want a marriage built on faithfulness? Become faithful. If you want a marriage built on Christ, let Christ be formed in you and lead with the faith of Christ. The marriage you build tomorrow is shaped by the character you exhibit today. And this is where people get stuck. They're praying for the right spouse, and they're not praying about becoming the right person. They want the covenant blessings, but they're living in compromise. You cannot build a life of righteousness on a foundation of rebellion. You cannot ask God for a covenant you are not prepared to ask for if you don't have the character. Boaz noticed Ruth because of who she was, not because of how she looked. I mean, she was poor. We would say homeless. She had nothing. And that's what caught his attention, her character. Godly relationships are not built on attraction alone. They're built on the character that honors God. And Boaz sought after character, not looks. And strong relationships are built by men and women who do the same. So chemistry may start a relationship, but character is what keeps a relationship under God's covering. We want to be under God's covering. Here's the second thing if you're taking message notes. First, the foundation of character. Second, the building of connection. The building of connection. It's a practice that we can keep. Character starts the covering, but connection is how two people learn to walk under it together. Because if one person is under the umbrella and the other person is running somewhere else, someone's going to get soaked. Okay, I'm a little prideful, I got to be honest. And it's a very humble statement to make, but I am prideful. It's a humble, prideful statement. Just thought about that. That sounded weird. Allie got the umbrella, not me, because I'm a man and I don't need an umbrella. And as soon as that hail started, I got under that umbrella, all right? Like, I got under the covering. You see, once character is established, something else begins to happen in our story. Connection begins to form under the covering. Because character may start the relationship, but connection is what builds it. We need some connection. In Ruth chapter 3, Naomi begins to recognize something, the mother-in-law is starting to recognize something happening between Ruth and Boaz. And she says something fascinating. Here we go, chapter 3, verse 1. One day, Naomi, the mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for?" In other words, Naomi is saying, Ruth, there's some potential here. She sees it. There's a relationship beginning to take place. But notice how the Bible describes the way that Boaz treats Ruth. Boaz didn't manipulate Ruth. He didn't pressure Ruth. He didn't exploit Ruth. Boaz honored Ruth. And in fact, when Ruth approaches him at the threshing floor, we're going to read this here in a second, Boaz responds with incredible dignity and respect. Watch this, verse 10. The Lord bless you, my daughter. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask. Let's pause here and see what just took place. Boaz doesn't respond with lust. He responds with honor. He calls her my daughter. He blesses her. He protects her. He provides for her. Boaz is not just a strong man. He's a safe man. And that matters more than people realize. Because strength without character is dangerous. But strength with humility creates safety. The strongest people in a relationship are the ones who make the other person feel safe. And Boaz creates that kind of environment for Ruth, which shows us something about what biblical love is. Biblical love is not selfish, it's not demanding, it's not controlling. Biblical love asks a different question. How can I honor you? Think about this. How can I serve you? How can I protect you? And this is where marriages either grow or they slowly die. Because most marriages don't collapse in one dramatic explosion. They erode quietly, gradually, over time. We see it daily as pastors. It's not one big dramatic moment. It's through thousands of subtle small moments. Sharp tone, dismissive response, a cold shoulder, a lack of thoughtfulness, a refusal to serve. And when these moments stack up over time, something begins to break the connection. But healthy marriages grow in the opposite direction. They grow through intentional honor, through gentleness, through thoughtfulness, through care, through listening, through serving one another when it's inconvenient. So let me say it this way. Connection is not built through moments, these big moments. Connection is built through small, consistent acts of honor. That's how you build connection. Bible speaks to this, Ephesians 5:33. Each of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So husbands, your wife does not only need provision. She needs tenderness. She needs to know that she's cherished. Wives, I'm trying to help you out here. You're not helping me. She needs to know that she's safe with your words and in your presence. And wives, your husband doesn't only need affection. He needs respect. He needs encouragement. He needs to know that somebody believes in him. So when those two things come together, love and respect, connection grows. But when love and respect disappear, distance begins. So love, listen, love grows where honor lives. Love grows where honor lives. But the opposite is true as well. Connection dies where honor disappears. So watch what Boaz does next. He protects Ruth's reputation, verse 14. She lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, no one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor. Why did Boaz do this? To protect her dignity. He cares about her name. He cares about her reputation. You see, real love protects the other person's dignity. Real love does not rush to consume. Real love slows down enough to honor. And if I could say it as plainly as possible, I'd say it this way. A marriage will never feel strong where honor is absent. But where honor is practiced, where kindness is spoken, where grace is given, where forgiveness flows, connection grows stronger year after year. And that's the kind of love that builds marriages that last. Strong marriages are not built by two people chasing their own dreams under their own storms. They're built by two people learning to walk together under the same covering. So here's the third point as we look at these practices that keep a relationship under God's covering. It's a foundation of character. It's built on connection. And third, it's a practice of honor. There's something interesting about these umbrellas. Sometimes when the wind picks up, you need someone to hold it steady, or else it will be blown away, or even worse, it'll break. You ever have an umbrella break on you? I think it's genius, these new umbrellas that can like pop out and then pop back in, you know? Like, if someone's not holding it steady, this umbrella will blow away, the covering will leave, or it'll break down. This is Naomi's story, the mother-in-law. She's helping Ruth see this relationship clearly. Naomi is helping protect the relationship because wise voices help keep relationships under the covering of wisdom. Pride says, I don't need covering. I don't need someone to speak in this relationship. I don't need help. But humility says, help us stay under the covering. Story is moving on. Ruth leaves the threshing floor, reveals to Boaz, and she returns home to Naomi. And when she walks in, Naomi can immediately sense that something significant has happened between the two. Listen to this moment, verse 16. When Ruth came home to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, how did it go, my daughter? Then she told her everything that Boaz had done for her and added, he gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. That won the mother-in-law over right there. Bring the gifts. That's like bringing some flowers. Naomi, she sees the grain, but she sees something different. She sees something deeper that's taking place. She sees the character of Boaz and the favor of God on Boaz's life. And Naomi immediately recognizes that something God-ordained is taking place. Why? Because godly relationships do not fear godly confirmation. Healthy relationships welcome wise voices. Because healthy marriages are not built in isolation. That's where they begin to deconstruct. We were never meant to do covenant alone. God designed covenant, listen to this, to live inside of community. Your marriage to live inside of a community. That's why Naomi matters in the story. Naomi is the wise voice, the trusted guide. Naomi is the person who loves Ruth enough to help her see what God is doing, and we all need that voice in our life. People matter more than you realize. Because, you gotta hear this, when you are emotionally close to something, you can easily lose perspective. Your feelings get loud. Your judgment becomes blurry. Your emotions start to make the decisions that wisdom should be making, not emotions. And that's why Scripture says in Proverbs 11:14, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Wise voices will protect your marriage. But you got to have them speak into it. Sometimes your marriage needs help of another godly couple. Sometimes it needs some counsel, some prayer. You need someone who's speaking into your life, who loves you enough to tell you the truth. And pride hates that. Pride says, we're fine. We don't need help. No one understands us. We can figure it out on our own. But humility says something different. Humility says, well, God may want to speak into us through this trusted voice. You know, strong marriages are not built by pretending that there are no problems. I'll tell you right now, you got problems. I got problems. We all got problems in our marriage. Pretending that there are no problems is ignorance. Strong marriages are built by bringing problems to the light, not keeping them in darkness. Healthy marriages don't hide their struggles. They allow God to speak into their struggles. And more importantly, for this point, they allow other people to speak into their struggles. Because isolation is where the enemy works his greatest work. Isolation is where lies grow loud, where resentment grows, where bitterness festers. But when you bring things into the light, healing comes. Jesus actually says this in James 5:16, one of my favorite verses, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. As you bring your problems, your dirt, your issues, your drama into the light, have somebody speak into them. Not stay in isolation where pride rules and reigns. Bring it into the light. Have someone speak into it. Healing comes. So Naomi, she gives Ruth some incredible wisdom. She's speaking into the relationship. Verse 18, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens. For the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." Naomi says, "Ruth, be patient. This is the right one. He's a man of integrity. He's going to do the right thing." She's speaking into it. And it helps Ruth. It slows her down. See, wise voices bring clarity when emotions bring confusion. And every healthy marriage needs this. You need people in your life who love Jesus and who love you and who are not afraid to tell you the truth. But our culture has taught us something different. Man, if someone says the truth, they're mean, they're evil, they're insensitive. That's exactly what you need to hear, or else you'll end in divorce. So Ruth's story, it reminds us of something powerful. When wise voices surround a relationship, God's covering comes. God's covering comes. Here's the fourth and final point. We'll wrap it up with this one. So with the foundation of character, building of a connection, practice of honor, and here's the fourth thing, a promise of redemption. I love this one. This is where the story turns. Because Ruth asked Boaz something incredible. She says, "Spread the corner of your garment over me." This is what's happening. Put an umbrella over us, a covering over us. Will you cover me? Will you protect me? I've been through a lot, Boaz. Will you redeem what's been lost? And Boaz becomes her covering. But this is what I want you to catch today. This is kind of the home run. Boaz is only a shadow to Jesus. Jesus is the substance here. Because every one of us was standing in a storm we could not escape. Think about it. Where you've been, sin, shame, hurt, brokenness. And then you accepted Jesus. You received the faith of Jesus. He came into your life and he became your covering. And this is where the story turns. Because at this point, we've been talking about this relationship, character, connection, honor. But the book of Ruth was never about finding the right spouse. This isn't a sermon on dating or even marriage. More importantly, it's about finding the Redeemer. Everything in this story, everything in this book is leading to this moment when Ruth approaches Boaz on the threshing floor. She says something fascinating in verse 9. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, cover me. Since, you got to catch this, you are a guardian redeemer of our family." What's a guardian redeemer? This is covenant language. This is redemption language. Ruth is saying, "Boaz, will you cover me? Will you redeem what's been lost?" And Boaz responds in verse 12, "Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there's another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night. In the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if not, if he's not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it." Boaz is saying in this moment, "I, if God allows, will be your redeemer. I will cover you." So this idea of a kinsman redeemer, I love this. It's incredibly important in the Bible. A kinsman redeemer is what Boaz was to Ruth, but a kinsman redeemer is a family member who had the legal right and the ability to step in and restore what had been lost. It's a kinsman redeemer. A redeemer could step in and reclaim land. A redeemer could step in and protect a widow. A redeemer could step in and restore a broken future. A redeemer would cover, would provide, protect, would redeem. And that's exactly what Boaz begins to do for Ruth. And this is where the story becomes bigger than Boaz. Because Boaz is not just a good man in this love story. Boaz is a signpost. Boaz is pointing us forward to something greater. Boaz is pointing us to Jesus. Jesus is our true kinsman redeemer. Boaz was willing to redeem Ruth. Jesus is willing to redeem you. Boaz stepped into Ruth's loss. Jesus is stepping into your brokenness. Boaz covered Ruth's shame. Jesus comes in and covers your sin. Boaz moved out of covenant love, and Jesus moved out of sacrificial love, even going to the cross. Boaz redeems a widow and her family. Jesus redeems sinners and the family of God. Boaz restores an earthly future. Jesus restores an eternal future. Boaz gives Ruth a new story. Jesus makes all things new for you. And that's why this message is bigger than a marriage. Because some of you walked in today carrying some real pain. Maybe your marriage is in trouble. Maybe your past is full of failure. Maybe your relationships are complicated. Maybe there's regret, hurt, betrayal, wounds you're still carrying. And the good news of the gospel is this: your deepest hope is not in finding the perfect spouse. Your deepest hope is in the perfect Redeemer. Jesus is the one who does what no human could do for us. He heals you. He restores you. He forgives you. He renews you. He steps into broken places and writes a redemption story over your life. That's what redeemers do, and that's what Jesus did. So yes, God can heal your marriage. Yes, God can restore some trust. Yes, God can redeem what sin tried to destroy. But healing begins when we stop making marriage the Savior and we allow Jesus to be the Savior. Listen, your spouse is a gift from God, but Jesus is your Redeemer. Your spouse can love you, but only Jesus can save you. Your spouse can support you, but only Jesus can make you new. Some of us have placed expectations on our marriage that only Jesus was meant to carry. Because the deepest need of every human heart is not romance, it is redemption. So here's the good news of today's message, church. God has not left us without a Redeemer, Ruth tells us, and His name is Jesus. I just take my last few minutes here and speak into your marriage for a second. There is no sin too great for God's grace. There's no marriage too broken for God's healing. There is no relationship beyond God's redemption. That's what the whole story of Ruth has been pointing towards, a kinsman redeemer. That's what Boaz did for Ruth, but Boaz was a signpost, a shadow to Jesus. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. He stepped into our brokenness, into our sin, into our shame. He covered us. He went to the cross and paid the price to redeem what we could not redeem for ourselves. So if you're here today and your relationships feel messy, if your marriage feels strained, if your past feels heavy, Jesus still redeems. He redeems broken hearts. He redeems broken marriages. He redeems broken families. He redeems broken stories. Because the same God who brought Ruth from Moab to Bethlehem, the same God who led her into the field of Boaz, the same God who turned her loss into redemption, is still working today. This umbrella doesn't stop the rain. It just covers you in the storm. And life is full of storms. Marriage is full of storms. If you're in a relationship today, storms are in your future. But when you stand under the covering of Christ, you're not walking through the storm alone. Just as Boaz covered Ruth, Jesus covers you. The safest place for any relationship is under the covering of God. I want to pray for you today, just right where you're at. Close your eyes and bow your heads there. Just take a minute and ask the Holy Spirit what He's saying to you through this message. What does He want to say to you? What's He trying to redeem? Is he your covering? Father, we thank you that you are on the throne, that you rule and you reign, you provide and you cover. Lord, some of us have been experiencing storms, and we've been going through this alone, but you never created us to go through these alone. You are the covering, so we thank you. We thank you that you cover us. We thank you that you redeem us. Without you, we would be left in our sin and in our shame, trying to find redemption on our own, but you came and you redeemed us. So we thank you for that today. What a beautiful picture of our kinsman redeemer. And I want to pray for those who have never received the redemption of Jesus. Never prayed a prayer to believe and to take on the faith of Jesus. If that's you today, I want to lead you in a prayer of redemption. Just pray this to God right where you're at. Say, God, today I receive the Son, Jesus Christ. I place my faith in Jesus, and I take on the faith of Jesus, and I follow Jesus from this day forward. Thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for loving me enough to send Jesus to die for me. Thank you for the covering you provide over my life. I receive faith today. And I believe in you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Everybody said amen. Clap and celebrate those who prayed.